Today, Michigan State University's athletic director, Mark Hollis, became the latest top official to step down in the wake of the Larry Nassar sexual abuse scandal. Nassar was sentenced earlier this week to 40 to 175 years in prison for decades of sexual abuse. More than 150 women and girls told the court that they'd been abused by Nassar, but that may have never come to light if it weren't for reporters at the Indianapolis Star. We're joined now by the reporters who broke the story, Tim Evans, Marissa Kwiatkowski, and Mark Alicia. Hello to all of you.
Thanks for having us.
And you've been on this story for years. What was it like to watch Nassar's sentencing this week?
It was so heartening to see the survivors who we had dealt with and had developed relationships with, some meeting for the first time, getting some closure. There's no question. A lot of them said that what happened the last 2 weeks, the opportunity to speak for the world, really, to hear, really did help their healing and gave them a sense of closure.
Take us back to the beginning of this for you. Eventually, more than 150 women came forward to say they were abused by Nassar, but it all started with Rachel Denhollander, who told you in 2016 that Nassar had molested her when she was a child. What happened?
We had been investigating sexual abuse in gymnastics for about 5 months, and we published our first story on August 4th, 2016, and it looked at how officials of USA Gymnastics, which is based in Indianapolis, had dealt with sexual abuse reports. That same day, we got an email from Rachel Denhollander, and she said she had some information. She didn't know if we would be interested because it didn't involve a coach, but she had been molested by Dr. Larry Nassar, and that's how we got onto Nassar. He wasn't even on our radar at that time.
How did you check out that story?
So we started by interviewing Rachel, and we also at that same time period, within a few weeks, had received calls from two other women who said that Nassar had done the same thing to them. So we sort of divided up efforts. Mark interviewed Rachel. Tim was looking into Larry's background and looking into medical procedures for osteopathic medicine. And then I was interviewing one of the other women who came forward, who was the Olympic medalist in California.
And just as you started talking to more women, did more women start to come forward to talk to you?
Before our first story published, we had three survivors. And we ended up running our story using two of them because of just some decisions we made editorially. But once our first story ran about Nassar, almost daily more women were coming forward to police in Michigan State University who were kind of leading the investigation at that time. And it just was, you know, kind of an exponential growth from there.
Were you worried at all about publishing these stories?
No. We were extremely careful. We did nothing before it was ready, but when we published the first story, Rachel had made a report to Michigan State University Police, and the woman, the Olympian, who was anonymous at the time but now came out as a Jamie Dancer, had filed a civil suit. So there was at that point a police record and a court record.
What does it say to you that it was investigative journalists, you, who uncovered this massive story and not the police?
I think it's a testimony to the power of journalism and the First Amendment, and it's been great that it's gotten some attention at this time with all the hubris about fake news and all of that. And, you know, it just goes to prove that there's a power in journalism, there's a power in the free press, and we didn't just let the doctor buffalo us. And when we went into this story, we knew what was going on. I know that the police and the university had investigated him previously. We didn't know that at the time of our first story. But I think they deferred to his medical, you know, he was a god in gymnastics and, you know, a highly respected doctor. I think maybe they deferred and just believed what he had to say.
But I think it's really important to note that in the aftermath of our story, the Michigan State University police and one person, Detective Andrea Munford in particular, did an outstanding job. And Rachel gives her a lot of credit for her professionalism in following this up. You know, we've gotten beaten up a lot, I think, lately with all the fake news talk. And what the prosecutor said at the closing argument about the importance of investigative reporting goes way beyond us or Larry Nassar. It speaks to the importance of journalism nationally, and we so much appreciated what she said, and I think journalists nationally have appreciated that.
So what do you think happens now? Is there more to this story, or is it over?
I think it's the end of one chapter of the story, but there's a lot more to be told. Again, when we started out, we weren't looking necessarily at Larry Nassar. We were looking at the system, the culture within gymnastics that allowed people to abuse, that covered up abuse. And there's a lot more out there. Nassar was kind of a tangent that took a lot of people in one direction, but it's clearly not the end. And, USA Gymnastics is facing great challenges. They've just been asked or instructed to get all their board members to resign, or they'll be decertified as the national governing body. And again, there's a lot of cultural issues out there within gymnastics and other sports that youth sports particularly that need to be examined and will be.
And there are civil suits and a criminal investigation about to begin at Michigan State. This is a long way from over.
And are you three still on this story, or have you moved on to other things?
We are continuing to look into it.
What was the hardest part about all of this for the three of you?
I think it was getting people to trust us to tell deeply intimate stories at a time when it was quite possible people weren't going to believe them. And we were very fortunate to have gained the trust of some really brave women.
I'd also say gymnastics is a very tight-knit community, a closed culture. We heard at all levels, from local gym clubs to the national level, that, you don't want to cross a coach or an important judge or an important official because it can impact your future. And early on, nobody wanted to talk to us with their name attached to it to help us get through and get deeper. And then we had a couple of former gymnasts who really, carried the water early for us and really helped, put the crack in the dam that now we saw, rupture over the last week or so.
Marissa?
Really, for us, I think, too, it was, looking at the entirety of a very large system, because the law in almost every state requires reporting of child abuse and neglect. And so we really were looking at the system not only from a USA Gymnastics perspective or a Michigan State University perspective, but really from the local club level. So people who, were coaches or trainers at the gym who may have known about suspected child abuse, to USA Gymnastics, to Michigan State University, to other places, and all the way up to the USOC. So really following the entirety of that system was a pretty complex task.
Let me ask you all one more question, which is, why did you get into this business? Why did you want to be a journalist in the first place? Start with you, Tim.
Well, my joke is it beats having a real job. but I guess, over the years, I've been doing this for 40 years, and, the great thing about it is you can be a voice for the people who are voiceless. You can advocate for people who need help. It's not necessarily about getting awards and honors. What would make you feel better than seeing hundreds of women come forward and start some healing after horrible life experiences? And knowing some of that comes back to your work, and that's the thing that drives us. And I would say, too, the Indy Star has a long history of supporting and working and focusing on children's issues. And Marissa and I particularly have done that for years. And this is just kind of an extension of that.
Mark?
I like the opportunity of having a license to ask powerful people questions, and sometimes getting answers and sometimes helping people.
And Marissa?
I got into this business to give a voice to those and who may not have one, and to expose wrongdoing and hopefully at the end of the day improve the lives of the people that we serve.
Well, congratulations to all of you on breaking this incredible story. We've been speaking with Tim Evans, Marissa Kwiatkowski, and Mark Alicia. They're the three investigative journalists at the Indianapolis Star who broke the story of Larry Nassar, the Michigan State University doctor who abused more than 150 women over decades. Thanks to all of you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.